Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, Professor of Transformational Leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the Realization of Human Potential. Glad to have you join us today. We're going to be talking about dealing with stress at work. And the first thing is, too often, stress is not a function of what people think it is. Most people think that stress is, I've just got too much going on. Actually, it's more often a result of not being fully engaged in what you're doing. If you think about your muscles, you have flexors and extensors. And if you don't flex fully, then when you extend, you don't extend fully. You manage in a tense muscle that never gets fully tight and never relaxes fully. What really matters in life is that we have a good relationship between going for it fully and learning to rejuvenate, refresh, relax, meditate, walk, be with myself so that I can give myself fully to what I'm doing. How can I give myself fully to something if I don't have myself? So we give and we take, we put out, we take in, and there's always two sides to things. So the big idea we want you to get today is that you want to fully go for it. Now, the amazing thing is that we have way more energy than we know we have, and it's too often our mixed emotions that cause us to be drained. What's more draining, a meeting that you're fully engaged in or one where you're sitting there irritated, ticked off, and not happy about what's going on in the meeting? So we're going to talk about this today, and we're going to apply it to a few different callers, and we're going to take a look at how they can apply this principle of give yourself fully and then take care of yourself fully. Our first caller is Molly. She says, how do I help senior management understand that we need a change of culture? Okay, well, tell me about that, Molly.
Hey, Bob. So our department that I work in is divided in half. Half of us are applications and half of us are technical. And our senior management of each group simply doesn't get along. There, for what I can tell, there's been a lot of history, a lot of mistrust, a lot of broken trust. And what I see that's causing me stress is we meet and there's a lot of eye rolling, there's a lot of resentment, and there's simply a lot of stalled progress on projects that should be moving forward but aren't because one group doesn't want to give to the other group of their resources. And I'm also feeling stressed because I've told almost all of the senior managers like what I've seen and why I think it's a problem, and usually they react surprised that I find it to be a problem, and also their attitude seems to be, well, we're way better now than we used to be, and like that seems to be good enough, and so they don't have to work harder. So I'm just getting frustrated with our lack of ability to make decisions and get projects done, and a lot of my peers are feeling that way too. So I'm trying to sort out, like, how do we help the senior managers understand this is, in fact, a problem and that we need to change the way that we relate with one another?
Well, I think this fits with what I was saying earlier. Are you fully engaged in the meeting? You're talking to them about it, but what do you do in these meetings that are non-productive, where there's the eye rolling and all of the other things going on? How are you operating in it?
To date, I haven't said much. I usually withdraw because I see the fights happening at what I'm interpreting are higher levels, and I'm in this meeting where I didn't call it. I'm not the highest ranking person, and I am scared to step out and say something for fear that I'll be reprimanded.
Okay. Well, I guess that means that you have a lot of people that are afraid to say something about what's going on. And that does cause you more stress, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Because because you have an urge and a yearning to say something, and you're sitting there holding back. And on top of it, the projects don't move forward, so you don't feel good about what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what is it you'd really like to do if you weren't afraid of reprisal?
Well, there's one meeting in particular on Tuesdays at 3, and I was texting a manager. I dared him to stand up and say, hey, what are our goals here? Because all we've done for the last 35 minutes is argue, and I'm not satisfied with that result. And I just, like, no one ever called, like no one even says, like, you're arguing and this is fruitless. Like, what are we even trying to do here? We get so far off a path of, oh, I can't, or, oh, these are the restrictions. It's like, why are we even meeting then? I mean, I'd like to just stand up and say, like, hey, this meeting isn't okay. The way we're treating each other in it isn't okay. Like, when someone asks you a question, you should answer it. And if someone asks for a resource, you should either give it to them or have really good reasons why you can't, not just, oh, that other person's busy. Like, we're all busy.
So you're afraid of getting fired?
Yeah. Well, not fired, just hand slapped and squashed and told, you're out of line, this isn't your place. Who are you to deal with this?
Well, I'm somebody sitting in a meeting that goes nowhere with people bickering and no apparent resolution in sight.
Yeah.
So,
I guess, yeah, the problem is that, like, that seems to be the norm around here. So people be like, well, so am I. I can imagine having this conversation with my boss and him saying, and so am I, and we all have to do it. I'm like, but why?
Well, what would happen if you said, what is it we're arguing about here, and what's the outcome we're working towards?
Yeah. I think people get lost a lot in the discussions.
So, but you're allowing it to go on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your boss is in this meeting?
Yep, and his boss.
And your boss's boss is in the meeting?
Yeah.
So why don't you begin telling them what you want to say? Instead of asking them to do it, be willing to step out and do it.
Yeah, I think the only thing holding me back is fear. I could hug that monster and actually make a difference.
Well, you're going to pay a price either way. Would you rather pay the price and feel good about yourself?
Yes.
Or would you rather sit back and be one of the complainers? Because that's, in essence, what you're doing if you don't do anything about it.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And therein my stress is.
Seems to me that you need to be talking a lot more to people.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It seems to me
right.
That you've got an excuse culture where people are spending a lot of time blaming and excusing themselves from deliverables.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, guess what? The question is, are you going to be part of the culture or not? Are you going to start saying the king's got no clothes or not?
Right.
And are you going to say, here's what I think we can do to clothe the king? You remember that fairy tale, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's busy trying to pretend that the king is dressed when in fact he's undressed.
Right.
So you could get fired, right?
I could. I don't think it's likely, but I could get fired,
well,
yeah.
That may be the price you pay for your own integrity.
Right.
saying, I, for one, don't want to sit in this meeting again with a bunch of bickering and excuse-making. I'd like to make sure that we get something done.
Right.
And let's tell the truth. We're all more interested in covering our own butts than we are in getting the projects done.
Mm-hmm.
So I know as a leader, it always helps if somebody speaks up. Your leaders may not want it.
Yeah.
But the question is what's the price you're paying?
Right. Right. And it's absolutely in my integrity.
I would really like to have you call back in and let us know what you end up doing to relieve your stress.
Absolutely. I will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, man, don't we all have integrity issues? But isn't that what's really stressful is when we're not being true to ourselves? Second caller is Claire. She says, I have trouble prioritizing and think that's the biggest cause of my stress currently. What can I do? Oh, good point. Claire, tell me about it.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
My biggest current prioritization issue is I have a bunch of projects in the works and being started, and I am having difficulty figuring out which bird needs to fly the coop first so that I can get work done on them. I reach out to the different IT departments that I need to for each project, and each one says, no, we want to do it at this time or that time, and nobody can work on anything right now. And so I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs, stressed out that I'm not doing enough to get these projects in motion. And so I feel like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place
in order to get them moving forward. What does your boss say about this?
Oh, my boss? He just asks me, when is the next project getting moved forward? He doesn't really pay much attention.
Oh.
As long as nobody's screaming at him about anything, he doesn't want to know about it.
Well, but just because he doesn't want to know about it doesn't mean you shouldn't say, look, here's what the status is.
Yeah, and I've tried that. He likes to cancel all of our one-on-ones, so I tend to catch him in the hall and give him a quick synopsis of one or two things just to keep him at least partially in the loop. So not being able to meet with him is definitely part of my stress.
And so you're afraid of being the squeaky wheel?
I don't know if I'm afraid of being the squeaky wheel. I definitely would like to go to him with a plan and steps that I have taken versus going to him with nothing. But when he cancels our one-on-ones, it's kind of difficult to meet with him at all. So I haven't met with him in about 6 weeks.
So the first thing you need to move forward is to insist on a time that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's
I'll reach out to him today and verify that we're still. I'll reach out to him today and verify we're still on for our next meeting Monday.
And to let him know it doesn't work for him to be canceling meetings all the time. And how are you supposed to interpret that? So you've got a challenge to manage up, so that you can manage across the projects that you have.
Exactly, exactly. And I have IT leadership that is engaged for the first time in 3 years, which is fabulous, but that's still not my direct, you know, line of leadership.
Well, it sounds like you need to lead the leaders, managing up.
Yeah. So could you repeat what you said about this doesn't work for me, and I really need to figure out.
I need
him to tell me why.
I need your input, guidance, and alignment. And it's not doesn't work when you cancel the meetings and I can't get your buy-off and support for what needs to be done. Glad to have you tell me you don't agree with my priorities, but I've got to be able to go over them with you and strategize action and have you coordinated with me so that we are really getting done what we need to get done. What else do you need from me in order to make sure this happens? And what is going on that you keep canceling our meeting? What am I missing?
Okay. Yeah, it's that's what I really want to know. Why does he want to keep canceling these meetings?
Yeah, because you don't know how to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that he's out of control and he needs some help. So it sounds to me like assertiveness is your project here.
Well, and I feel that there is some issues with leadership, and he has to do the same and sort of guide his leadership. So my little operation of wellness is very under control in his eyes, so he doesn't feel we need to meet. However, not being able to strategize and come up with an action plan on my own is where I need to meet with him, and I don't know that he feels the same.
Well, you can strategize and come up with an action plan and tell him if you don't hear from him that that's what you're going to be doing and here's what you want him to do. And that if you don't hear otherwise from him, you're going to assume this is what he does.
Okay. Okay.
Okie doke.
Sounds good. I will
Let
see if I can move this
goes.
Rock here. Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Our next caller is Joey. Says, how do I increase a highly focused, low-stress... How do I create a highly focused, low-stress day? Well, what's the challenge to that, Joe?
Hey, Bob.
How are you creating an unfocused, high-stress day? I think we lost him.
I'm here. Sorry, I got my cheek hit mute. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, you helped me last week really kind of, let's see, clarified things for me around meditating, and that's been really serving my day. You know, I think, like, now I'm on to, like, well, I tend to find that I'm just, like, attacking tasks that need to be done, but I'm just kind of like, oh, that's in the moment. Let me just send an email back to that person. And there's kind of disorganization to the amount of things I get done, which I've learned, and I've, you know, based on our last conversation, I'm still affirming myself that I'm getting things done, but I feel at the end of the day that I didn't attack the target tasks or, you know, like film to-dos that I wanted to do, and I kind of got sidetracked, and so I'm feeling still a sense of unfulfillment. And I want to, you know, create days that are really even more focused and targeted.
So you're not getting to the high priority that you want.
Right.
And
right.
A lot of the people I know that are very successful at that start the day with the high priority items. For example, you don't look at emails until you've done the work you wanted to get done.
Huh.
That's a very big one.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you want to try that and let us know?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about meditating last week, and it ties in here. I've noticed that as I've been using meditation to be focused and more targeted, sometimes I get into a nice trance, and sometimes I just sit there and, like, listen to the room and the air in the room. And I'm curious about that. Like, is that normal? Is that normal?
Well, personally, I do mantra meditation. And so I would go back when I hear things and begin repeating my mantra.
Okay.
And I use the mantra to interrupt the patterns of my mind.
Oh, I have noticed that working. Okay. Okay, excellent. So you mantra the whole time.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, that really helps me.
Okay, thanks a lot, Joe.
Thanks, Bob. This is great.
Okay, you take care. So this is really a big challenge for all of us. It's so easy to get fragmented. And emails are so fragmenting because there are so many little pieces that hit us. And one of the best rules of thumb is that you do your major tasks before you open your email program, be it Outlook or whatever you use. And I want to thank you for joining us and on Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio today. We'd love to have you join us January 15th to 17th for our next Foundations training. It's going to be a rocking, rolling, great weekend. It's a good opportunity to learn the foundational skills to reawaken your social-emotional intelligence. And social-emotional intelligence is the primary variable that indicates career success. So learn more about it. It indicates probability of career success. The higher you go, the more it matters in your career. And I want to thank those of you who were at our Energize Your Life, Ignite Your World event last Wednesday. It has been very rewarding to have people start to understand that what we're working on is a world that works for everyone, one person at a time. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright.